So if you wanted to see planes flying overhead, if you wanted to get a look at a deer that's across a field, if you were at a football game, you wanted to see what was happening on the far end of the field, you might use something like this, right? You might grab a set of binoculars that would help you to see things in the distance more clearly. So you're looking around and you're like, binoculars are great for seeing things from afar, for seeing things that are across the way, for seeing things that are out of your normal field of vision. And binoculars do a great job of that. They help you to see small details a long ways away. Unfortunately, one of the things that binoculars do is if you were trying to see like Gary down here, and I'm trying to have a conversation with Gary, but I'm sitting here and I'm like, I've got my binoculars up and I'm talking to Gary. And I'm like, hey man, how's it going? The only thing I'd be looking at is his nose hairs, right? Because it'd be too close then. There's too much detail. I've gotten too close to him. sorry, Gary, for singling you out like that. Appreciate you, my friend. Anyway, so binoculars necessitate that you have to take a step back from somebody in order to be able to see them clearly, because it's too focused, it's too detailed, it's too laser intense. But in a lot of ways, we have binoculars on in life that keep us both laser focused on somebody and at a distance from somebody at the same time. We see this a lot of times in people that have really strong opinions about something, right? So just a show of hands in here. We're going to do Coke versus Pepsi. Okay, how many of you in here prefer Coke? Let's see, a show of hands. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you in here prefer Pepsi? Put your hands down. How many of you in here prefer neither? There's a lot of you guys. I noticed there weren't very many hands going up for either one. I was like, oh, I bet there's a third option here. How many of you prefer coffee? Let's see the coffee hands. All right. Praise the Lord. When you meet somebody with a strong opinion that's passionate about something, maybe it's not Coke versus Pepsi, maybe it's cats versus dogs, and they're just, you know, in your face trying to tell you why their cat is better than your dog, and they've got this really strong opinion. What ends up happening when you encounter somebody with a strong opinion, what do? You take a step back, don't you? You're like, man, this person is way too loud, way too aggressive. I'm going to take a step back. I'm still going to view them, but I'm going to view them from over here instead. And I'm going to stand back at a distance, and I'm going to look at them from back here, because I don't want to get too close. I can still see all of the details. I can still understand their argument, but I don't have to get too close. And so binoculars then become this tool that we use, and we use these metaphorical binoculars to view people and to see the details, and honestly, a lot of times to see the flaws in somebody from a distance, don't we? In fact, I read a study a couple days ago, an article that said that over 10 billion, that's billion with a B, $10 billion have been spent on election advertising in the last year. $10 billion. I don't know if you know the difference between a million and a billion, but it goes like this. If you were to count one, two, three, count every second up to the number 1 million, it would take you about 11 days to get to the number 1 million, counting continuously day after day. If you were to try and count that same until you got to the number 1 billion, you would be counting for 37 years. Okay, the number between a million and a billion, is so much significantly smaller. In fact, that if you were to stack $100 bills up and you were to get a million $100 bills and stack them together, it would be about 43 inches tall, or about the size of Owen, my 7-year-old. Right, it'd be right about in here, just under 4 feet tall. Would be that stack of bills totaling up to $1 million. $1 billion would be the size of the Space Needle. So to put that in perspective, so when I say $10 billion has been spent on advertising, and what is the purpose of that advertising? The purpose of that advertising is to help us to see somebody from a certain perspective. is to help us to understand an issue or to understand a person from a certain point of view. In other words, it's to help us to see through their binoculars. We don't have to get too close, but we can look out, we can look through the binoculars, and we can see what the other person is like. But you never get a full picture, do you? You never get, in one 30-second ad, you never know the whole story of what's happening. And yet, we so often base our opinions, we base our judgments on those quick hitter, that one look through the binoculars, that little bit of detail that we caught, and we're like, okay, now I know everything I need to know about this thing, about this person, about this issue. I know it all. I've got it all figured out. The truth is that God didn't call us to love people from a distance. God didn't call us to step back and to love somebody. Instead, God called us to lean in. And when we see Jesus walking around, we've been reading through the Gospels in our Bible reading plan, and it has been fantastic to be able to see who Jesus was and to be able to hear straight from the Master what we need to be doing. So if you haven't been reading with us, I would encourage you, go to gcmoseslake.org/Bible Recap. We're getting ready to start the Passion Week in our Bible reading. Great time to jump on board. Again, gcmoseslake.org/Bible Recap. Go ahead and take a look at that. But we've been watching Jesus as he's walked around the countryside interacting with people. And what he's shown us over and over and over again is that people aren't annoyances. People aren't problems that he has to deal with. We see one time where he's walking through this crowd and a woman touches his garment. He stops the entire parade to have a conversation with this one woman, right? We see over and over and over again how Jesus stopped. Jesus, we talked about last week, he was talking to his disciples. A little child comes in. He grabs the child, sticks him on his lap, and uses that child as an object illustration for his bigger point. But he stopped, and he noticed, and he loved them. He didn't love from a distance. He brought people up close. He saw beyond race. We saw in the first week. He saw beyond gender. Also in the first week, he saw beyond social status, beyond peer pressure, and he loved people where they were. This week, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19. We're going to be looking at the story of Zacchaeus, because we're going to see how Jesus again calls to somebody who's afar off, and yet Jesus brings him close. This month, we've been focusing on what it means to love like Jesus, and so we've been focusing a lot on what it means to love the outsider, the enemy, those who can't repay you. It's easy for us to love us, right? It's easy for us to love those in this room. It's easy for us to love our family and friends. It's harder for us to love the outsider. It's harder for us to love them. It's easy to love us. It's hard to love them. And so our question for today that we're going to be discussing is, how do we love people who seem to be on the other side? How do we love people that don't fit into our us bucket? How do we love people that are politically, culturally, ideologically different in the same way that Jesus loved us? Because the Bible says when we were far off, when we were distant from him, when we were enemies of his, he still loved us and he died for us. And we want to love people with the same love that Jesus has. And our big picture for today is going to be that our mission is not to change people, but instead it's to love them and it's to point them to Jesus. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to look at Jesus today and how he treated Zacchaeus. You guys all know the song, or at least those of you that grew up in church. I actually had a great conversation this last week with somebody that didn't grow up in church, and I was thinking about this story and this point, and I was like, you know, I bet that she would never have heard this story before. We, for those of us that grew up in church, we grew up singing this song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when, as the Savior came that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. This one says from there. For I'm going to your house today. I don't know the lyrics very well. I had to write it down. But for those of us in church, we know this story. So what I want us to do is I want us to try and take a look at this story through fresh eyes to say, how did Jesus love a man that culturally other people hated? Zacchaeus, in fact, would come to represent in this story a man who was everything that was wrong with the political system of the day. And Jesus chose to love him anyway. He didn't get bogged down by Zacchaeus' job, his past. Zacchaeus was a man of great wealth, and Jesus didn't let that intimidate him. And yet Jesus was able to invite him, to welcome him in. And because of that, there was a transformation that happened in his life. All right, Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1, says this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, just pausing right there for a minute. So Zacchaeus was a trader, a tax collector. In fact, the Bible says that he was the chief tax collector. He was the IRS agent of the day, right? And Jesus is walking through, and he sees this man dressed in his robes. He's up in a tree, and it's a strange sight when you're just walking along to see somebody up in a tree that's staring at you. So it caught Jesus' attention. They stop, and they're like, okay, who is this man? But what you need to know about Zacchaeus is that he wasn't just a government agent, but he was a liar and a cheat. Because the way that he got wealthy, the way that he had these nice robes that he was wearing, the way that he was able to do the things that he did was because he would go to you, and back then, we all get mad that we have to fill out our tax forms every year. Back then, the government did it for you, and they just told you what to pay. And this is what happened. The government would say, hey, you owe, you know, I don't know, 30 pieces of silver. And you know, so from Rome, it would say 30 pieces, and Zacchaeus would say 35. And then he'd take the five and he'd pocket it and he'd send the rest on to Rome. And so there was corruption in this system. People got wealthy off of this system. But Zacchaeus was a Jew. And so Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, was not only a cheat and a liar, but he was a traitor to his own people. He was getting rich off of making his own people miserable. We're supposed to love us, right? We're supposed to take care of us. And yet Zacchaeus had turned his back on us and was walking towards them. And so there's this tension. There's all of these feelings, all of this animosity that's rising up inside of the Jews. So Zacchaeus had everything that he could possibly want, power and wealth, but he saw that there was something in his life that was missing, didn't he? He noticed that there was something inside of him. There's a reason. There's something that drove him up that tree that day. He knew that there was something in his life that was missing, and that was Jesus. And I have to ask you guys today, because I know there's some of you in here that are hearing this story for the first time, have you ever wondered to yourself, is this all there is to life? Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, is this all there is? Is this all that I'm chasing after? Or is there more to life? Zacchaeus is in that phase where he's achieved everything that he was hoping for. And yet he realizes there must be something more. And so our first point for today, or our first thought for today, is that no one is too far gone for the love of Jesus. No one is too far gone for the love of Jesus. Even though Zacchaeus had turned his back, even though he had walked the other direction, even though he was opposed to his people, even though he was lying and cheating his people, and Jesus was one of the people that was being lied to, that was being cheated, Zacchaeus was not too far gone for the love of Jesus. He might have been hated by the world, but he was deeply loved by Jesus. And every time we're tempted to put somebody in a them bucket instead of an us bucket, we need to remember that the people that are over here are people that are deeply loved by Jesus. Amen? They're people that Jesus loves. And Jesus, we see in this short section of Scripture, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus was looking. He was paying attention. There's all of these people around him. And yet Jesus singles out Zacchaeus, says, I'm going to come and I'm going to stay at your house today. I want to come and I want to be with you. I want to hang out with you. Zacchaeus, you who's walked away, you who's turned a blind eye, you who has gotten rich off the suffering of your people, I'm going to spend time with you today. You see, Zacchaeus was a person that Jesus deeply loved. When we're learning to love like Jesus, we need to deeply love people as well. Even when they offend us, even when they hurt us, even when they stab us in the back, we need to deeply love them, deeply care about them, because God has something that he wants to do in their life. Jesus stops to see Zacchaeus in this moment. What we see here is that not only is that nobody too far gone for the love of Jesus, but we see that Jesus' love is both personal and intentional. The love of Jesus is personal and intentional. Jesus calls him by name, and he invites himself over to spend time at his house. I don't know if you've ever invited yourself to somebody's house. Usually you don't do it with somebody that you're distant from. Usually you do it with somebody that you're close to. If I'm inviting myself to somebody's house, like, I don't know, for Halloween night to come over and trick-or-treat at their house, if I'm inviting myself over, first of all, I have my kids do it. I don't do it. But you invite yourself over to people that you're close to people that you want to spend time with. And this is what Jesus does here, because he's personal. He's intentional in his love for him. He's not distant. He's not looking at Zacchaeus up in the tree like, hey, what's that guy doing up there? You know, he's not looking at him in that way. Jesus wants him to be close. And when we learn to love like Jesus, we're going to bring people close as well. He calls him by name. He's not distant, he's close by. Jesus could have preached to him from a distance. Jesus was used to preaching to thousands of people. He could have kept him up in the tree, preached his entire sermon about how he needed to get right with God. He could have preached to him from up there, but instead, again, Jesus pulls him down, pulls him close. He could have pointed out Zacchaeus' flaws. It's really easy to preach a sermon against something. And it's really hard to fight that sometimes when you see so many things that are wrong in the world. It's really easy to point fingers, to wag your finger, and to say, this is what's wrong in the world. And Jesus could have done that. And you know what? He would have won the rest of the crowd to his side. Everybody that was a skeptic would have been like, oh, boy, that Jesus guy, he sure believes the right things. I think I can trust him. He says what I needed to hear. He says what Zacchaeus needed to hear. I'm going to listen to this guy, because I trust him. Instead, Jesus took the risky path. Jesus took the path less traveled. Jesus took the path of loving his enemy, of embracing somebody who was distant, even if it meant that some people in the crowd weren't so happy with what Jesus did. But Jesus loves us completely. He knows us completely, and he loves us unconditionally. And the Bible says that all the crowd knew the type of man that Jesus was going to hang out with. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So you see that the crowd was turned off. And sometimes in order to love one person, in order to be with the person that God is calling us to be with, it means that other people are going to be confused. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to say, wait a second, Jesus, are you taking his side? Do you agree with what he's doing? Do you side with the Romans? Are you a part of this whole thing? You know, and so there's all these questions then that pop up about Jesus because of who he's associating with. But loving like Jesus, which is our goal, loving like Jesus means stepping into each other's lives even when it's uncomfortable. Even when it means people might get the wrong impression of us. Even if they drink Coke instead of Pepsi, right? Even if they root for the wrong sports team, we're going to step into their lives. Even if they have the wrong, in our mind, political position, even if they have the wrong opinions about something, we're going to step into their life, even if it's uncomfortable for us. You see, Jesus didn't care about Zacchaeus' past. Instead, Jesus loved him in the present so that he could transform his future. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't care about his past. Instead, he loved him in the present so that he could transform his future. Jesus' love for us then isn't based on our past. It's not based on the things that we've said and done. Instead, it's based on his grace. And we see in Jesus, he loves us with an unconditional love, with a love that embraces us, with a love that's selfless, with a love that draws us in because he loves us. And here's where it really gets good. Because Zacchaeus responds to Jesus in that moment. Jesus, who again, I keep saying it, but Jesus could have stayed far off. Jesus chose to embrace, and that embrace did something in the life of Zacchaeus. Here's what Zacchaeus says. He stands up in front of the crowd and he says to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor." Zacchaeus was so moved that the man who was willing to cheat and steal from his own people, something changed in his heart in an instant. And Zacchaeus is transformed by the love of God. Zacchaeus now, instead of being that person that was hoarding, that was greedy, that was selfish, in an instant says, "I'm going to give, I commit right now to give half of what I own to the poor." And he says, "If I've lied, if I've cheated, if I've stolen from you," he's saying this in front of a crowd, remember, "if I've cheated anybody, I commit and I'm going to pay back four times the amount that I stole from them." You can imagine people taking out their ledgers out of their pockets like, "Wait a second. Okay, I didn't like what Jesus was doing a minute ago when Jesus would seem to be pursuing somebody that was far off. But now all of a sudden, I'm going to get an extra, you know, 5 times 40, and he's been doing this for 12 years, so we're going to multiply that." And they're starting to do math. I can imagine the crowd got really quiet as they're trying to calculate in their head, "Wait a second, 4 times this man that's been cheating me, every time taxes came around, I had to pay him extra, and now he's going to pay me back?" And now there's this, but there's, see, this whole thing is symbolic of a transformation that happens. If he gives half of his money to the poor and 4 times the amount to every person that he's cheated, I don't know how much Zacchaeus has left. But in that moment, Zacchaeus didn't care, did he? In that moment, something had transformed inside of Zacchaeus' heart that said he was going to serve Jesus and he was going to make things right. But when we make the decision to say, "I'm going to stay over here with us and I'm going to look at them from a distance," we never give people that opportunity. We never give people that chance to change. Instead, what we do is we push them off. We push them away. We say, "You're never going to change." And I don't know if you've ever had people that you've interacted with in your life that you thought they were never, ever, ever going to be different. They were never going to change. I know I have. And you look at them and you say, "Man, you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You keep making the same mistakes. You're never going to get any better. And so I have to push you away." But again, Jesus' love embraced. Jesus' love drew people close. I want to say one thing really quick. This is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's important because some of you in here have dealt with abuse. You've dealt with gaslighting. You've dealt with people who have manipulated, who have stolen from you. Loving people does not mean that you don't have boundaries. In fact, having boundaries is oftentimes the most loving thing that a person can do. Now, I can't address every situation right now, but I want to say that if you're confused by this or if you're thinking about going back to your abuser because of something that I'm reading to you this morning, come talk to me first. Send me an email, set up an appointment. Let's get together and let's talk about that because the scriptures say a lot of things that I don't have time to go into right now about those types of situations. For your normal encounters, God is calling us to love. He's calling us to bring people close. That doesn't mean that we don't have boundaries. That doesn't mean that we don't set up appropriate common sense restrictions into the access that somebody has in our life. If that's confusing at all, I apologize, but I know that there's some people in here. In fact, I talked to somebody this last week that wrestles with those very topics. And I want to make sure that I say that if you are struggling with that, come talk to me, because there's a lot more to dive into than I can get into in a 30-minute sermon on a Sunday morning. But the Bible has a lot to say about stuff like that. So Jesus, Zacchaeus has this transformation moment, this transformative moment in his life where he says, I am going to be different because of what's happened to me right now. And true change, then, we see comes with an encounter with Jesus' love, not necessarily from being shamed or from being lectured. In fact, the love of Jesus doesn't leave us as the same person. It transforms us. A couple weeks ago, I said it like this. I said, Jesus loves us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us where we are. Jesus loves us, but it's with the purpose of making us more like him. And when we become more like him, we're going to be different in a lot of different areas of our life. Zacchaeus went from being a greedy, selfish man to a generous, repentant man, all because of love. And John 13, our main scripture for this series, said it like this. Jesus said in John 13, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you vote the same way as everybody else. Let me read that again. By this, everybody will know that you are my disciples if you only root for the Seahawks. Right? Everybody said amen. No. Okay, that's not what it is. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Finish the sentence. If you love one another. Let's try that one more time. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one. One more time. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There we go. All right. You see, when we love each other, when we love one another, when we draw people in close, when we include them in us, the Bible says that everybody will know who we are, not because of our great preaching, not because of our wise and persuasive words. The Bible says that people will know that we are his disciples because of our love for each other, because of our love for God, and because of our love for the people that God loved. And again, Jesus loved Zacchaeus deeply, personally, and intimately. God's love has the power to transform each and every one of us. Jesus says, verse 9, Luke 19, 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. In other words, this man that we see, Zacchaeus over here, I'm dragging him into this side. I'm dragging him into this us bucket because he's a son of Abraham. He's a child of God. He's part of our tribe, whether you like it or not. I'm bringing him in. He's a man. He's a son of Abraham, just like we are. And then Jesus is going to say something in this next verse that is actually the central focus of the entire book of Luke. As you're reading through the book of Luke, remember this phrase, because this is what the entire book hinges upon. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And in this, we see the heart of Jesus laid bare for everybody to see. We see the hope that Jesus had, the hope that Jesus brought to us, laid out in front of us. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for those that had it all together. He didn't come for the Pharisees. He came for the sinners. He looked for the hurting and the broken. He came for Zacchaeus, and he came for you, and he came for me. Amen? We see in Jesus, he didn't even come to win arguments. He came to save souls. He came that lives might be different, that lives might be transformed. Amen. You see, for those of us that you know, 21st century America, we're trained to examine things from every angle. We're trained to notice the details. We're trained to get to the truth of things, to reason and to convince. We use our binoculars to study and to learn, but in the end, our mission is not to change people. It's to love them and to point them to Jesus. When we point them to Jesus, Jesus does the transforming. He does the changing. He loves them so much. We don't have to do his job for him. We point the way and we allow him to make the difference. Does this mean that you don't speak the truth in love? Absolutely not. We talked about that the first week. If you're missing out on that, go ahead and go back and watch it. You can go to our website, gcmoseslake.org/sermons. Watch it there. We speak the truth in love. We tell people what they need to hear, but we do it in love. So often, we want to speak the truth because it's the truth, and we know we should say it, but we forget about the in love part. And that's maybe the reason why God's had us harping on this so much. As we've been examining the life of Jesus, we've been watching what Jesus did and what he said, and we've been watching his teachings. It's because Jesus wants us to learn to put the love back in truth, to learn to love people in the way that Jesus did. It meant sharing the truth. There are lots of instances of Jesus sharing the truth, but it meant doing it in love. Jesus didn't come to win arguments. He came to save souls. Amen. Paul said that he didn't come with wise and persuasive words when he was talking to the Corinthians. He said, but with demonstrations of the Spirit's power. With love, with commitment, with conviction, Paul went and he ministered to people and he saw people saved, not because of the things that he said, but because of the things that he did. It's the same thing for us. You see, Zacchaeus' story is our story. Jesus saw us in our sin, in our brokenness, and he called us by name. He saw us afar off, and he brought us near to him. But when he brought us near, he didn't leave us where we're at. Instead, I think most of us in here, if not all of us in here, could raise our hands and testify to a transformative moment that we've had with Jesus, where we realized that we had to lay something down, we had to give something up, we had to do something differently in order to follow him with the fullness of what's inside of us. And if you haven't had that moment yet, spend some time with Jesus. It's coming. Okay, Jesus doesn't want to leave you where you're at, and none of us are perfect yet. And so Jesus wants to continue to make us more and more like him. Jesus did this for Zacchaeus, and he did it for us, but Zacchaeus then took on this responsibility to love those that he had wronged, to care for the poor, right, to bring others close, to love people the way that he had just experienced love. Couple of verses as we close today. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage. The first one, Romans 5:8 says this: God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. We were outcast. We were up in that tree. But God loved us. And even while we were sinners, he loved us to the point of dying for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when we come to know Christ, it says if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. When we come to Jesus, we are made new in the same way that Zacchaeus was. And then the last one, 2 Corinthians 2:4-5, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. In other words, it's not on us to try to convince somebody. It's not on us to try and reason them into the kingdom. It's not on us to try and counter every argument that they have. We get them to a point where they can meet with Jesus, and Jesus does the rest. And in fact, the truth is the Holy Spirit has been working behind the scenes in the entire time that you're trying to minister to somebody. And the entire time that you're trying to love somebody, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. He's empowering you. He's equipping you. And he's helping you to love like Jesus. So we're called then to go and others with that same radical, barrier-breaking, life-transforming kind of love. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had to learn from you today. God, to hear from your Spirit, God, and Lord, I pray that, God, you would place into our hearts and minds right now the name of somebody that you want us to minister to, somebody that we can show the love of Jesus, somebody that we can wrap our arms around them and love them in their pain, to love them in their brokenness, to love them in their hurt. God, I pray that you would help us to reach our arms out to others and to love them in the way that you loved us. And I'm going to have everybody just go ahead and continue in an atmosphere of prayer here for a second. I know that there are some of you in here that you feel like you're far off from God. And that story of Zacchaeus is compelling in a different way because you see yourself as the man up in the sycamore tree. And Jesus wants to bring you close to him today. For those of you that are here, that you would say, man, I'm distant from God. I'm separated from God, but I want to have a relationship. I want to know that kind of love that has the power to transform my heart. In just a minute, I'm going to have you raise your hand high, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus into your heart. This is Jesus' way of drawing you near to him today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, what I want you to do is all across this place, raise your hand high just to say, I want to come back to Jesus today. I want to reconnect with God, or I want to connect with him for the first time. If you're watching us online, make sure to click the link in the chat to fill out the Connect card because we want to make sure that nobody walks this path alone. If you're in here today and you want to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand when I count to three. Ready? One, two, three.